Why what you see here is a more complete model for a computer virus epidemic, and we will build that later today. What you have seen so far is the right-hand side, where we only consider the part that is driving the infections. The left-hand side will consider that there is a limited number of computers to infect, and therefore, as more computers are infected, there are less targets available to infect, and that will decrease the speed of the epidemic and ultimately lead it to some asymptotic value. And by the way, the model that we're using, you could use also for the flu or some other epidemic that is not a deadly epidemic. That is an epidemic where you are infecting people and they don't die from that. Actually, in the flu, some people die, but very few. So more on that later. Let's now go to the slides. So the last slide that we had was this one, and that's the model for an epidemic where we have in principle an infinite or a very large number of computers that can be infected. And that's the reason why we have here this cloud here. It doesn't have a process of counting the computers that can be infected, and therefore the process exploded. As you may remember, when we made the model, let me see which one. I think I am opening the wrong one. So I have two versions of Vensim, so I open the professional one rather than this one. Here you have it. I make it a bit bigger. No, it makes it smaller. Okay. Perhaps it's big enough for you. So I will repeat the last two steps, or actually the last three steps, so that you get a clearer picture. I had to close the lecture, and that's why the explanation of the equations went a bit quick. By the way, I have a document explaining all these steps in very detail, which you will use later to make your model, actually the full model. So when we define the equations, we have to define this one, contacts between the infected and the uninfected. And the point is, because of the way we draw the diagram, let me perhaps move this here. So that we can see the equation here. Since the variable that we have to define, which is this one, the contacts between infected and uninfected species, is influenced by infected species and the fractional contact rate, Vensim knows that and put this here under the variables where I am pointing. There you see the two variables that influence or determine the value of the variable that we want to define, which is the contacts between infected and uninfected species. So Vensin doesn't know the equation, but Vensin does know that you have to use these two. If you don't, Vensin will immediately alert you that you are not using one of the inputs. And if you, for some reason, wrote an equation with more inputs, then Vensin will alert you that the inputs are not there. So Vensin checks the consistency between the diagram and the equations. So what is left is to build an equation using these two. And then the reasoning is like this. The number of contacts occurring between the infected PCs and the other PCs is influenced by how active the computers are in exchanging information. And that's where the fractional contact rate does. But it is also proportional to how many infected PCs there are. The more infected PCs, the more of the contacts occurring will be involving infected PCs that can transmit the virus. So that's why I have put there, as definition, the equation, the product of the two quantities that we have to use. This needs to be justified, and one should put it here. I am not doing that, but just to save some time, put a justification for the equation. And that is something that you always should do, fully document in your model. The other thing is, when you are defining some variable by another variables, then the units follow from the definition. Have units, then Vensin will compute the unit. If this process fails, that's because you haven't defined some of the previous units. It is a good check and a good practice to have units, because they help you assess whether the equations are correct. Then once you click OK, this is defined, and similarly you continue to define the next equation. And here the process of virus infection, again, Vensin knows that you have to use these two, because you have links going to virus infection from these two variables. And again, the reason is the number of virus infections occurring per unit of time is proportional to the number of contacts, the number of exchanges between infected and non-infected species. But it is also proportional to the probability that these contacts result in an infection, which is the infection probability. So you put this equation, you click on check units, you add some documentation here, which I am not doing here. Add the justification for the equation and so on. And that's all you need to do. And then you save this. And now you can simulate. And when you simulate, the time series is saved in a file name which you can give it. The file name you can determine yourself. Here it's current or whatever. But you could put some other name. For instance, you could call it base or base simulation or whatever. And then you, when you click enter, this has been simulated. And now there are several ways of seeing the results. The simplest is paying attention as to which variable that is selected. You see it here upwards. You see first the name of the tool, Vensin. The name of the file, virus infection 1, with the extension MDL for model. And then the selected variable, virus infection. So if you now went to the graph here, then you will get the graph of virus infection. There you can see that. Here you see the variable, virus infection. And here you see how the number of virus infection behave over time. The units are here, pieces per hour, and you see it takes some time before you have a sufficient big number, and then it explodes and you're up in the millions. Of course, in the millions, because you haven't limited the number of computers that can be infected. So the model is just the first step, and it needs to be extended and modified. If you now selected this one and click on graph, then you get the number of infected pieces. If you selected this one and click on graph, then you get a number of contacts between infected and infected species, all growing exponentially. And if you click on Windows pop output forward, then all the graphs come up that you have. But there is another way of dealing with the output, which I am going to show very briefly, and that is using the input output object, which is this one. So click on that, click somewhere, and then you get a number of options, actually three options. You can define input sliders for input variables. Then there are two strange terms for you: output workbench tool, output custom graph. The last one refers to graphs that you develop and format as you like. The quickest way is to select this one, the output workbench tool. Then you choose the variable, level or auxiliary, select the level. You have only one, the infected pieces. Click OK. And then you go to the bottom and select how to depict this. And you can do a number of things. For the time being, we just take the graph. Okay. And then you get a window or a picture. And to fill that, you have to simulate. Click again, simulate. It tells you the data set base exists already. Do you want to override it? Yes. And there you get a graph. So the difference between previous ways of doing that is this is now pasted to the view, as opposed to the other outputs, which are kind of floating outputs, and which you can move around, you can scale, you can close, and so on. In this case, you want to change the size of this, you will have again to click on the input-output object. Perhaps the best thing is to click on the hand, and then you see you can grab here and do whatever you like. And then simulate, and you have a different size. So that's a quick and dirty way of producing output of variables. The disadvantage of this method, the advantage is that it is part of the view. You can put it where you like, here, and it is there. You save the model and close it, and the next time you open it, it's there. The disadvantage is that this procedure only gives you one curve. If you want to have several curves, you have to do it differently by creating an output graph. We can learn more things. By the way, in addition to graphs, you can get tables where you get the values, and the table can be horizontal or vertical, and you can scroll and see the values. You see the numbers that you see here. First of all, you are seeing two results because I have actually two sets of outputs. I had originally current and base. They are equal, so I'm seeing the same result. Sometimes you reserve some name of the output for some experiments that you do, so you can compare that. You will see later how to select which output to show. Then the other thing that you see is, you see here the time and so on. You see some numbers, and you see infected pieces at time 2, 1.96, at time 3, 2744, and so on. So obviously we don't have two coins, 2.7 pieces. So what is this doing? Well, the simulation, if you wanted to do it exactly, you should do a simulation using integer values. But this is much more difficult mathematics. So what system dynamics does is to give you approximate results that you have to interpret. So a value 2.7 or time 2 means you have more than 2 pieces and closely to getting 3 infected. So that's the way to interpret that. Okay, what else? Oh, yes. Because we have such big numbers, we are not seeing the accuracy of our simulation when you have such curves here. So that's why, at the moment, in the settings, there is not much point in changing the time step. Although we could, because let's see what happens. You see, with the time step 1, we end up with 10 million pieces infected at time 48. Let me make the calculation more accurate by reducing the time step. I have to explain. The time step is the interval between calculations. Later we will see the details. At the moment, I just tell you that if the time step is 1 hour, then Vensim will compute first the results at time 0. Then it will compute a projection for time 1. Using that, I will compute the projection for time 2, and so on, adding always the time step of 1 hour. This is not very accurate. To make it more accurate, you make the time step smaller. So if we make the time step now 1/2, so Vensim will compute the results at time 0, 1/2, 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, and becomes more accurate. And you will see that immediately. Notice that in this computation, the maximum value is 10 million. You see that here? Now, let me close and simulate again. And what's the result? And now, I get 40 million. The red curve is the original one. And now, by adding accuracy, I get a much more accurate result. Okay, let's now model settings, go and reduce the time step to 1/4 of an hour and see what happens. So we simulate millions. So you see the original computation using the time step 1 hour was very inaccurate. So let's continue. How far? We continue until we don't see any more changes. That's always the rule for selecting the best time step, the accurate one. You select a time step that, in the end, doesn't change the output. So, model settings. Now I make it 1/8. Okay. And let's see if that changes the results. So, I have close to 90 million. What happens now? And I'm still changing. I have, 130 million. So suppose we are making a simulation of a virus that could infect all the computers in the world by using a calculation with the time step 1. We got a gross inaccurate result. Now we are coming closer and closer to the truth. Still, let's say what happens if I reduce the time step. So instead of 1/8, I put now 1/16 and simulate and see if I get, here I have something like 130 million. Let's see what happens now. Even more, I'm still at 165 million. So let's continue doing that. Model settings, decrease the time step even more, half of that. Simulate and see if it becomes more than 165 million. Yes, it does. We are coming closer to 200. So model settings, even smaller. simulate. And I am up to 218 million. So model settings even smaller. And simulate. And now it doesn't change very much. So now you have an accurate or quite accurate result for this model. If the S-virus infection could infect all the computers in the world, after 48 hours, we will have something like 220 million infected. So you see the choice of the time step is about the accuracy. And as you make the time step smaller, you are getting more and more accurate results. But in the end, you achieve a time step where making it smaller doesn't make changes anymore because you are very close already to the true solution. And that's what I want you to do in your models. Don't just take the time step one as proposed by Vensim. When it comes to the simulation, you should decrease the time step by one half and see about very visual result if it changes. If it changes, to make it a one half again until you don't see any changes. This is the kind of accuracy that I request from you. But if you are a consultant, say a PricewaterhouseCooper, and you are engaged, then you get a prescribed accuracy. I want the results to be 1% accurate or 0.5% or 2% or whatever. Then you have to check that you achieve that accuracy. But for most cases, in practice, visual accuracy is enough. Okay, any questions? Yes? Okay, the question is as to whether the unit plays a role in this. It affects the time step because if you have chosen days, then I will be simulating only over 2 days. And the Vensim will offer you first the time step 1 day. So you are going to get extremely inaccurate results. So you will have to go down until you have basically the equivalent one. So the answer is you will get a different number, but in the end, since it is expressed in days, when you convert it to hours, it should be the same as here to achieve accuracy. Okay, then let me proceed with the lecture. We'll come back to models later. You have opportunity to work with a more extended model, the one that we see in the front room. So now the other kind of behavior. So far we work with reinforcing behavior. Now the balancing feedback. In the case of balancing feedback, we have a situation where the behavior of the variable approaches some constant. And here you see two examples. For instance, if you have an oil reservoir and you are producing, you are emptying it, so their production decreases and decreasing. It becomes harder and harder to extract oil when less is left. And by the way, you never can get more than half, 50%, or perhaps 60% of what is in the oil with the current technology, because the price of getting the next barrel increases and increases, increases. So, because pressure is dropping and so on, and in the end, the cost of extracting the barrel is no longer makes the process no longer profitable. So you achieve such limits. So the upper curve shows you a behavior. Okay, wait a moment. It should be 35. Let's make it bigger. The upper shows you a behavior where some quantity decreases until a limit value. In the one below, you see a process attempting to increase quality where the quality in the process becomes harder and harder and harharder to achieve, the closer and closer you get to some limit. So the behavior is as shown below. And you could create similar examples concerning security, maybe in the examination, we'll see, in the second project. Now, what causes such behavior? Well, balancing feedback. Here you see an example referring to sales and customers. The more you sell, the less customers that are left, so therefore the sales go down and go down. Actually, in the case of sales, you will be seeing something like this. A lot of sales in the beginning, and then less and less and less until that goes to some limit. In some other, but if you were selling too little, maybe you will be increasing. Okay. To simulate this, you would create a diagram like this. I leave it to you to do that. We will have an example in security that's very similar, actually in the virus infection. Very often, in such balancing feedback, you put the explicit goal of the process. So here you see a situation where you want to get some amount of workforce. You compare the desired workforce with the current workforce. There is a gap, and you close this gap here. I think we have in front a model like this, but maybe we can check that. Modeling a virus epidemic when seeing virus spread SIB. Let me see what I have in there. Class 2. Class exercises. Virus infections. Virus infection SIB. Let me see what I have there. It seems that it's only one model that confuses me a little bit. Control degrading. Okay, here you have a model. I am not going to build it, but I think that is in front. If not, I will add it, so that you can compare with that. Zoom, custom, 150, something like this. So here you have a balancing feedback loop, and you can see the behavior. It is representing the controls installed in a company. And we are assuming that these controls are not maintained, and because they have an average lifetime, that means they are decaying in quality and disappear. Why do we see two different simulations? Because I have two runs with different assumptions. In the data set, you see I have two runs, a base run and another one which I call security culture. And I have simulated then with two different sets of inputs. You will learn that later, so I am not going to spend much time on that. What I am telling you is that you can compare simulations with different assumptions. So in the base run, you have a short average control lifetime, and that's why the controls, security controls, decay very rapidly. Whereas in the blue one, we assume that there is a higher security culture, and therefore the controls do not decay as fast. And you are seeing two graphs here. You are seeing the simulation for the number of controls over time, and you are seeing the process of decay, which in the blue case is quite slow, whereas in the red case, which is the base run, it's quite fast. If you pay attention to this graph here, then you have the quantity that's being simulated. Here it's the controls, here is the variable control degrading. Then here you have the units chosen to represent this. Here I call it the control effect, and here is the control effect per month. And then you see below an explanation of what the curves are. And the explanation reads like this. First of all, the name of the variable that is being shown. Here it's control degrading, also control degrading. Above it's the controls that's been shown. And then comes the name of the simulation file. You have two simulations file, the security culture and the base run. And you see each of them has a different color. So for security culture, a slow decay. For a situation where the company has less security culture, a quick decay. So that's what the graphs tell you. I will teach you later, or show you how to create this kind of graphs. So for the time being, we leave it at this. And then you can yourself create these models, since you have the examples in front there. I proceed to the next one in the lecture because that's going to be the challenge in the interesting exercise. So we are now slide 38. I think I have also this model in front here. So if we have balancing feedback and a significant time delay, then we get oscillations. And here's the explanation. If you are thinking of an inventory, you get these oscillations or fluctuations because it takes time before a decision gets into effect, and you have production and delivery delays, and then the whole thing is out of sync and you get oscillations. Let me give you an intuitive example. If you are taking a shower and installing the temperature of the hot water, it's not instantaneous. It takes time, you adjust, and then it's still cold, and it takes time before it warms up. Then typically what you do is you will put a value or go too far so that the water is too hot. And because it's too hot, you will then immediately close that, and then it will become too cold. And then you have again to open and so on. So you are getting oscillations in the temperature. Too hot, too cold, too hot, too cold. And typically the behavior will be that you get some decreasing oscillations until you get the right value. Another example, when you are driving and it is icy, you make a turn on the wheel and then the car needs some time to react. And because of that, you will probably start oscillating and so on. And you have to recoup that by counteracting and so on. So whenever some action does not have immediate effect, you have time delays, then it's very difficult to adjust the value, the desired value, and you will get some fluctuations or oscillations. Then, remember, let me show you the initial slide. The purpose of this was to connect structures with behavior. And now we have been doing this and this. So diverging behavior, either increasing or decreasing, resulting in exponential growth or decay, this is caused by reinforcing feedback loops. Converging behavior, approaching some desired value from above or from below, it depends from what the state is when you start. This is caused by balancing feedback loop. The upper right corner, oscillations, you have balancing feedback loop and time delays. And now what is left is to look at S-shaped behavior. And I told you this is an important slide which summarizes the insights, but you should of course look at the details explaining the connection of these structures. But all behavior that involves feedback will be made of combinations of these behavior patterns. So when you have several feedback loops, they are each for themselves trying to achieve some pattern according to their nature. Reinforcing feedback loops will try to increase or decrease in diverging behavior. Balancing feedback loop will try to approach some goals. Balancing feedback loops with time delays will oscillate around some value. The oscillations may be stable or increase or decrease, but it's oscillating. And finally, we have the S-shaped behavior, and that's the next one we would like to understand. When you see S-shaped behavior, which means some initial increase that then becomes a bit slower and then goes over into approaching some asymptotic value, then what is behind that is a combination of two feedback loops. Initially, a reinforcing loop, and then as the reinforcing loop becomes weaker and weaker, a balancing feedback loop becomes stronger and stronger and shapes the behavior. And it says this here, in the first phase, which is the red one here, as you can see, the infections grow exponentially owing to the spread of the virus. Then, as fewer and fewer uninfected PCs remain, the spread of the virus declines gradually. I don't know why we have here comes declines, so I think I have to change that. Yeah. So when you see an S-shaped growth, this is created through a combination of reinforcing and balancing feedback. So here you see now the model first as a causal loop. And this is a model that describes both real epidemics, like say the common cold, or quite approximately also the flu. Not epidemics where you have several stages like infected without symptoms, then infected with symptoms, and there may be deaths, and some people get immune and so, then you have to add some more detail to the model. But this is quite a good description of a fast epidemic that results in some susceptible population, whether they're people or computers, getting infected. Then you have a reinforcing loop to the right, and it says the more infected PCs, the more virus infections occur, the more infected PCs, and so on. So you have a growth of an epidemic infection, but then the more virus that are infected, the less PCs that are uninfected, and the less uninfected PCs, the less virus infections. So if you like it, this is the underachievement archetype. And you may remember that the exercise 11 in the archetypes actually gave you this, the result from the point of view of the malicious agent. The malicious agent would like to infect as many PCs as possible. So it is an underachievement if there is a restricted number or a limited number of computers that can be infected. So that's why the bad guy will like to access other computers so as to have more computers that can be infected. This model could be translated to also infection in quotation marks of potential customers by existing customers through the process of word of mouth. So you could put here customer base, those who have bought a product. The virus infection will be the sales, and the uninfected PCs will be the potential customers that can be reached by recommendations of those who have bought the product and are satisfied. And as I said this morning, that's exactly what many organizations and companies who want when they ask you for your feedback. They want, you have been to a hotel, how did you like the hotel and so? And that's because they want to put that in a web page so that people think that's a good hotel and would like to go there. So they are exploiting exactly these patterns that you're seeing here. Okay, so there we have the causal loop. And the causal loop could be transformed this way. It's exactly the same one. But the reason why I am putting it here is because I am taking it closer and closer to the simulation model that I am going to put now, which is the next slide. Or actually the same slide to the right-hand side. Where I also, for making it clearer, put the influence arrows, the polarities, also on the flow. Let me see that I don't pass the hour. We have still 2 minutes, yes. Okay, in the left you have the causal loop diagram. In the right you see the model that we have to build in order to simulate. And if you think about what is a stock and what is a flow in the left-hand side, remember the rule is to identify the stocks, ask yourself, if I freeze the time, what can, how many computers that are infected? I think this is not working. It's very strange. I don't know what is the reason. Maybe it is a bad contact here. We'll try to fix that later. Okay, so we can count the infected, we can count the uninfected PCs, so they are the stocks. As to the virus infection, that is the process that is moving, so to speak, taking away uninfected PCs and making it to infected PCs. Whereas the other quantities, they can be computed. Okay? So, this model we have here, and I will end up by showing it to you, and later we will build it. Let's see if I manage to do that. It's going to slow this process. Okay, there you see it. That's the model. And you see simulations. And again, they are comparing 2 simulation runs where I have different values for the parameters. And this model you will build a bit later with all this detail. And you will understand how to compare different simulations with different values. So we stop for now. 15 minutes break.